Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 104, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries, as in the Coke brothers, and fuck Fox News. It's Monday, October 14th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I hear potatoes rolling. Is Jack O'Brien there? Because I ain't seen impeachment since I don't know where. Well, I'm here in the office, sick of Tuscany. When I hear that whistleblower, it's like a brain chip in me. Ah, that is courtesy of Music Picks. Retro to Music Picks. There we go. Nailed it. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Muggsy Bongs, a.k.a. Bong Bradley, a.k.a. Vape Carter, a.k.a. Tracy McBongy, a.k.a. Giannis Adida Bong Smoke, a.k.a. Kyle Loudweed, a.k.a. Luca Bongich, a.k.a. Nicholas Smokich, a.k.a. Hazy McGrady, a.k.a. Con Artest, a.k.a. Scary Johnson, a.k.a. Charles Smokely, a.k.a. Trill Lambeer, a.k.a. Gravier McDaniel, a.k.a. Menace Rodman.
Damn.
And that was a three-hander. Shoutouts to, well, first, the first section from Soltis Hannah. Hannah Soltissimo. Also, then, Geo Cash Me Outside at Napalm Radio with Hazy McGrady. And then the final stanza from Christy Yamaguchi main, but not Crispy Meme, whatever your new burner account is, at Ass Warfare.
At Ass Warfare?
Yeah.
How is that still available?
Ass Warfare?
I ask you the internet.
It used to be a great website.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore. Literally, somebody photoshopped it. The hilarious comedian, Mr. Billy Wayne Davis.
Hey, you guys.
What's happening, man?
Can I correct you? It's Senator Bong Bradley.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yes, became a senator.
I remember that one year when he came out to the RNC. right. and spoke, and I was
Bill
like,
Bradley?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking Sean Bradley. I assumed it was a Sean Bradley.
I think he could become leader of the Mormons.
Yeah. He's
because it's a height thing with him.
And he gave up two of his prime years.
I mean, no,
to a mission.
I'm mistaken because Bill Bradley's a Democrat. It was someone else.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anyways.
But that, I mean, if you're looking from their point, from that perspective, 2 years for your own planet versus like 2 years in the
true.
NBA, you're like, eh.
Your own planet sounds like sounds cool, but are people there with you?
I assume it's like kid rules when you're planning your own mansion and stuff where you're right. like, it comes with people to
you know,
do the stuff
with.
That you're unaware of.
Right.
Then when you become an adult, you're just like, but man, I don't want a mansion. That's like so much upkeep.
A lot of staff. Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. So the Mormon religion, heaven, you get your own planet that you get to be a god of. But like, are your loved ones there?
Yeah, I think you get all those.
Okay.
At that point, maybe you're at such a level of you've been deified that you don't have the same sort of needs emotionally as a mortal.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
What if your wife has her own planet?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm assuming, I mean, she's better than
but
me.
I think
so she's going to have her own planet. And I, you know. Am I a person on her planet?
Maybe that's the design.
A person on my planet?
Maybe that's the design because they have so many wives. They're like, listen, when
oh,
you're
right.
dead, they
there
get
you go.
Their own planet.
They'll
and I don't have to.
Right. What
I
am I talking about?
Thing?
This is Mormonism.
Yeah.
The man has a planet.
Yes.
And his wives are there to, you know, support.
Have their own satellite planets.
That's right.
Yeah.
The man is the planet and the woman is the moon.
Yes.
Right?
Is that true?
The head.
Don't know.
Is the neck still turns the head.
The neck turns
guys,
the head, as we say.
Happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Billy Wayne, we're going to get to know you a little bit
Hell
better
yeah.
in a moment.
I think
first,
we just did.
We're going to take our listeners through a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the town hall that the Democratic candidates did on CNN. Chris Cuomo's hilarious jokes. Joe Biden's just Joe Biden-ness.
Mm.
All of that. We're going to check in with the whistleblower scandal.
Just top form, that guy. Joe
yes.
top form Biden.
He really,
yes.
he knows himself.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Mike Pence. We're going to check in with how he's dealing with the heat. Not good at taking it, maybe. We're going to talk about whether the Department of Justice is getting involved with Fox News being mean to Trump.
Uh-oh.
We're going to... look at a op-ed in the Washington Post that explains why it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world for the Senate to actually remove Trump if the House impeaches him. And then we're going to look at the wildfires and a Norwegian cruise ship that almost caused a international revolt. We got so much shit to talk about today, but first, Billy Wayne, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I've been searching about how to fix the iPhone 8 because it keeps restarting and restarting.
Hmm.
Restarting. Yeah. Was the answer to buy a new iPhone?
Well, I took it to the Genius Bar and they restarted it from scratch. And then I was like, oh, cool. And then I left and then put my stuff in there and it started again.
Oh.
So then I took it to Verizon and was like, hey, I want a new one because I have insurance. And they sent me a new one. And now it's doing it.
Really?
Yeah. So totally. It's just sitting in my car. It's like a brick. Right
just
now.
Just restart and restart and restart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's because when I it's what happened was I downloaded the new software, like the update.
Yep.
And now
that's how they get you.
I got an 8. I downloaded the new software and it's been a little glitchy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is
it? Fuck.
Yeah. And then I went to Verizon and they were like, well, you've got insurance or for $100.
Upgrade
you. We can upgrade you now instead of waiting 2 months. And I was like, I've been paying for the insurance to send me a
right.
new phone.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, but you depend on your phone, right? Maybe we can leverage this and
right.
to get you into an upgrade.
But then the guy, I mean, I almost did it, but the guy's like, we don't have any in stock, so we'd have to send you one. I was
right.
like, so, okay.
Thanks.
Nice try, but... But then they sent me one that
the 8 sounds like it's older than it is. But the 8 came out at the same time as the 10.
Yeah.
And so now we're on the 11.
Yeah. What happened to 9?
Yeah. The 9 is going to be, there's going to be like a legendary iPhone 9 that's still out there. Like, I heard it folds.
Can you imagine?
And you can see through walls and shit.
Or it's a thing like our grandkids will talk about and be like, there was no iPhone 9.
But I thought, like, I've said that the iPhone 8 is the best iPhone because it's the last one they made with a button. So it's still still got the single button.
No, like they figured out how to fuck you, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Because I can't. It's in the car right now. Just restarting.
Yeah, just restarting over and over again.
I like that button now.
Just burning through that battery life.
Yeah, until it dies, and then I take it. And,
yeah. Fuck. What is something you think is overrated?
Over at smartphones.
Okay.
Since I've not had one for like 4 days now.
Right.
My life's been pretty great.
What specifically? Like your lack of checking the shit or the inability for people to like bother you?
I finished a book the first day. I've been trying to finish for like a month.
Oh, really?
That was fucking hilarious.
You're just like fucking Homer Simpson galaxy brain like after he gets the crayon removed from his brain.
It was like I did feel and then just like I'm not... I felt also the same way I felt after I quit smoking.
Right.
Because there's these like phantom times I want to go check my phone and I'm like, oh, I don't have it. And I just sit and do something else.
Yeah. Be present. Observe things around
me. And I was like, oh, this is an issue for not just me. I think it's society.
Oh, 100%. Like
this is a...
Oh, yeah.
And then it's freaked out my wife. She's like, so am I not going to be able to... And I was like, no, I'm just going to go do this thing and do this thing, and then I'll be back around this time.
Right.
I can check email, though.
Yeah.
Like, I got that. We can do that.
I'll swing by a net cafe to check and see if you've emailed me.
Play some Counter-Strike at the net cafe. Are you going to get a flip phone?
Oh, I looked at one last time I was in Verizon.
Has this brought you to the point where you're thinking, like, do I make this?
I can't yet because of travel and kids.
Yeah, and
I can, but.
Ah, just like that.
I am doing the iPad today.
Yeah, I noticed.
And I kind of like it because there's a button. My Kindle's on here too. So, like, all my books are on here when I travel. And now I'm just like, oh, I can
read.
Kind of control what information is coming and going. To me.
Yeah.
And if I have like a flip phone, they have to call me.
Yeah.
It's
or wait 15 minutes for you to reply in a text because you're like, damn, what kind of is this T9 input for my text?
It like it's one of those things where it's like when you grow up like in the church and they tell you about sex and then you get older and you're like, it just feels like I should do it this way. This feels like my body's like, yes. Your brain's like, we would work really good like this.
Right.
So I may have a goddamn flip phone next time I come in here.
I mean, over the weekend, I forgot my phone going out somewhere. And I, at first, was like, I literally in the car was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I have my phone. And
turn
then,
around.
No, I didn't. I was like, then I sort of got a little disgusted with myself I almost fell apart because I left a square at my house, a rectangle that has a screen. And then at this shit I was at, I was so much more, like, present. And even, like, the times that you would feel, like, you know, awkward silences, because that's really the thing that it's enabled us to do, is, like, just avoid awkward silences or maybe engaging with your environment, that you just go, let me just dive into my phone. I did that. I was just, like, sitting like a fucking monk, just kind of taking shit in and being like,
I think the one undisputed way it's made our lives better is cameras all the time, so you can take a picture of anything. I think we have better, more pictures of our kids now, I guess, and it's made waiting in line better. But I don't know that waiting in line was a bad thing. I think being bored and like boredom was a key part of like developing our brain.
Oh yeah, because it forced you to do, like, you were never so bored you just sat in a fucking room doing nothing.
Right.
You'd be like, all right, well, I'll naturally arrive at some activity.
I've been busy enough that I went and sat in a room and did nothing.
Right. Well, that's different. That's a remedy to your...
Do you know what I mean? Like, nope, I'm gonna have to... What's going on? It's like when I get off the road. I've been on the road for a couple of weeks, and then my wife will be like, you haven't left the house in 3 days. I'm like, I know, it's awesome. All my stuff's here, all the things I like.
I think I also haven't been here in 8.
Yeah, so it's really great. The bed is perfect. Yeah,
every part of your body starts smelling like balls.
Oh, yeah, and she's like, but you haven't, like, been... she's like, but you got to clean yourself.
All right, where's the rag?
Oh, yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
The North Mississippi All-Stars. It's a wonderful
blues rock band.
Okay. I think you brought this up. When did you interact with them? Did you have an interaction with this group?
I have opened for them a couple times.
That's what it was. Yes, because I feel like I know this name because of you.
But they have a new record out that is fantastic.
Okay.
Came out. Mavis Staples is on it. Jason Isbell's on it.
Jason who?
Jason Isbell.
Who's Jason Isbell?
If you don't know, you got to Google
that. If you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah. You got to Google that. And then a couple other people, but it is dope. Luther Dickinson and his brother is the drummer. Luther's a guitar virtuoso. They're playing in Santa Monica tonight. I'm going.
Oh.
At what is that place called? Somebody's Attic or whatever it's called.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Filene's Basement. No? Okay.
I would play that. Sounds like a fun play. Yeah.
I saw Eddie Vedder playing the violin at Filene's Basement.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That you can't, that if you have your hazard lights on while you're driving, you can, that traffic laws don't apply anymore. That is a myth.
Yeah.
But I have seen like 3 or 4 people in the last couple of weeks in LA where I'm like, you just can't just put them on and do whatever. Yep.
I fire them up and I start in I'll stop in the middle of the freeway to get some out of my trunk.
Like if you could, yeah, if you could do that, everyone would just have them on ramming into each other. Like, yeah. I had my lights on.
What kind of egregious hazard light use did you witness?
On the way here was what sparked it, where I was like, man, this is like something I've seen 3 or 4. Just one of those Starline tour vans.
Uh-huh.
I watched him do it. He was in the far right lane right in front of me, and he just put on his hazards and then just went over and did a complete U-turn on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, like that. It wasn't like, hi, I'm going to pick up these passengers, double park or something. It's like, I'm using this to be like,
warning.
That's
what I thought. He was just
right.
He was just going to, you know, veer off to the right and be like, this is how you
cut across to the left?
Hey, they're called hazards, man.
That's what he's like. I'm about to be a hazard.
This is hazardous, right.
Yeah. And the way, I mean, but there's like other people stopping and looking like I did, like, what? You can't even.
Right. That's crazy. Not even doing a hand out the window. That used to be the hazard sign.
He had this like look on his face, like, this is how driving happens.
Right.
Like, there was no concern.
Also, were there passengers in it?
I don't know. I couldn't see because I was just like, who is this man?
If that was my gig and I knew my company was insured on that shit, I would probably be like, man, fuck it. Watch this. I'm not even fucking around. I'm just going to do this U-turn with the hazards on.
I mean, there was no emotion either way. It was just like, this is how my day goes.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was just like, I went from being like, what in the to being like, all right, dude.
Yeah, right, yeah, okay. That's next level bad driving when you can't even be mad. You're just like,
well, you're in awe. Like,
I'm glad I got out of your way.
Amazing.
Yeah. May be still doing it.
Just doing donuts in the street.
He's like, someone's going to hit me. I was trying to get hit, but everyone just keeps respecting
me. I see that too when people go in their emergency lane, like to beat like morning rush hour traffic.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, please, dear God, if there's a good cop out there, let me see you pull this asshole over right now. Because there'll be people they throw the hazards on, they're flying down the emergency lane. You're like, that is not even, that doesn't even prepare somebody just because the lights are on. Because by virtue of what you're doing, just like busting U-turns from the far right lane.
It's just, you're just going to see somebody just like, bam!
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, there it goes. It's like the motorcycle guys. I respect, hate them.
Yeah.
Equally. Where I'm like, that's cool, but you're going to die.
Right.
And I'm okay with it.
You mean like when they're splitting lanes and stuff?
It's that risk reward that most of life is.
Yeah.
You're just like, good.
Right.
Yeah. What's the consequences? You're like, I'm going to get there 30 minutes early, but I could die.
Right.
Yeah. All it takes
I'm going to have fun doing it.
Yeah.
But if I don't have fun, I might be dead.
It just takes one stoner jamming too hard to Modest Yahoo to not notice you.
And yeah.
Just swipe you.
Yes.
And good night you.
It's impressive, though.
It is kind of impressive.
That's why I said I hate respect it.
Yeah. I think that's the.
Wish I would do it.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah, that is it. I'm not.
Too not scared.
For me. Too scared. Got kids to live for.
That is the. Yeah, there's the children thing now.
See, it's these damn kids. See, this is where you fucked up. I'm about to buy my motorcycle now.
Well, like the thing they say about motorcycles is that our brain, like, sometimes doesn't register them because our brain is just like the way it's built. When we're out driving, we're just looking for
car-shaped
things that are moving like cars. And so people will just drive like it's not there. And I feel like motorcycles, So, like, good motorcyclists recognize that and, drive defensively about it.
Yeah.
And then bad motorcyclists are like, I'm going to take advantage of that. They don't see me. Bah!
Yeah,
I'm like,
right.
I'm behind you. Now I'm in front of you.
I mean, all it takes is you one time to almost kill a motorcyclist to forever be afraid of killing another motorcyclist as a driver.
Yeah. Oh, in San Francisco, it's insane. They're everywhere. And those hills and everything, you're like, what happens? Well, you get hit sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what all of them say.
Hey, man.
Sometimes you get hit and you're like, okay.
Let's check in with Joe Biden from last week's LGBTQ town hall, because this is just the most Joe Biden, like, trying to be, like, cool, wizened dude.
The whole town hall was a very interesting mixture of performances. Elizabeth Warren, Beto, Amy Klobuchar at times did really well. Kamala at times didn't quite seem to have answers to very specific questions. Her and Amy Klobuchar typically would revert to being like, when I was a DA, this is what I did to stand by LGBTQ people. But sometimes the questions were like, what are you going to do about the epidemic of black trans women being killed?
Right.
At one point, Kamala Harris was interrupted by an activist who was in the audience, and she heard this woman speak, and then her response was just... She's like, what are you going to do to stop these men from killing us? And Kamala Harris just looked very respectfully and just said, you're right. And couldn't really articulate a response. Whereas other candidates were able to. Like Beto was able to articulate stuff. Other people were saying we need to make it a priority at DOJ. Anyway, it was a mixed bag. But, overall, some good performances. But then there were some weird moments.
Who's the best performance?
From what I saw, I didn't see much of Julian Castro. I'm sure he probably did well. But... I was actually pretty impressed with how open Beto was.
Yeah.
You know, his answer to saying, what will you do to protect black trans women? He said, I will listen to black trans women to figure out how to do this properly. And I want to listen to people or have a dialogue. When he didn't have an answer, he was willing to acknowledge what his blind spots were.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, overall, it was fine. I think at one point Elizabeth Warren was like, I'm not sure if I would make crimes against trans people a hate crime. I was like, I don't know about that. I think you should.
I understand from just a prosecutor and law point of view, it is that thing of shouldn't we make all crime just bad?
Right. Well, I think her point, which was smart, it wasn't just no, full stop, that's my answer. She's like, I don't think that's necessarily the best answer, is because the reason we need to elevate things to hate crimes to give this priority is because the justice system itself will not organically prioritize these things. So— For her, it was a sea change culturally at the Department of Justice, which is what a lot of candidates said.
Yeah, I mean, which is needed. Seems to be a giant change at every level.
Well, because again, they point to the fact that a lot of local jurisdictions might not prioritize crimes against trans people.
Or understand them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then, so they're saying, well, if that's not the case, then we need the Department of Justice at a federal level to prioritize that.
And, this one is a good one.
Yeah.
Our Department of Justice, they love stuff like that.
Didn't Elizabeth Warren.
Right now, the Department of Justice. Yeah.
They love.
Oh, God.
They just love.
They're so inclusive and understanding. But
they seem confused at what, law means.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they seem to
be
a force.
They're Justice, the EDM
opposition.
Group from France.
Which it is kind of a good opportunity for someone with actual plans to come into these deeply destroyed institutions and fix them.
Yeah.
Because it's the right time to change institutions.
Sure.
Fundamentally. Yeah. So thanks.
Yeah.
Dipshits.
And I think, weren't you saying Elizabeth Warren had a moment where she was like, yeah, that was wrong.
Someone asked her about, how she didn't think a prisoner who needed a gender reassignment procedure or some kind of medical procedure tied to their gender reassignment. She was saying that was a waste of taxpayer money. And then they were like, do you believe that? And I was like, no, that was wrong. She's like, it's a medical need.
Yeah.
Like, and I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
She was very she was pretty blunt when it came to things she wasn't, willing to, or that at least to demonstrate her growth. But really the focal point were a few fucking moments. There's a moment when Kamala Harris came out. She opened her moment at the town hall by, saying what her preferred pronouns were. She said, I'm she, my pronouns are she, her, hers. Chris Cuomo goes, yeah, mine too. And the whole town hall just went, ugh. Like really? This is an LGBTQ town hall, and you're coming off with some lame ass.
Did he do that? Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
I'm not laughing at what he did, but I'm laughing at what
the
he
situation.
Did. Does that make sense?
No,
because it was, it's just like
I could not believe it. It was like, fuck.
Do you think
off,
there's
dude.
Like his aides are just like, I mean, dude, right. How the fuck? Or it's like a sketch where he's got something in his ear where someone's DeBergiak in right. his, and then they and he just says something. He's like, yeah, me too. And he's like, and then they hear that. Right. And he's like, no.
Worst possible. Thing
okay.
I could have said.
So this is what happens. This is the introduction to Kamala Harris to speak.
Good to see you, Senator. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
How are you? Anna, thank you guys. And my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and her. Mine too.
Aye, dude.
Ugh. And then she goes, all right. And she looks off into the crowd and is almost like, yeesh.
Yeah.
And man. It was a fucking awful. I mean,
I'm glad she fresh
that is
pranced
it's just,
that moment.
It's just unacceptable. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
That is. I mean, they should be like, all right, you're done. You can't.
Yeah, dude,
you can't
just,
do the
hey,
thing
Fredo,
anymore.
Fuck
you
off, gotta, my man.
Come on, that was like, get out of here. He's right. Like, damn it,
damn it.
And he's not even mad. He's like, you're right.
I'm
you're
an
right.
idiot.
I gotta go.
I'm
I gotta,
a fucking idiot.
Can't be president now.
He did then be like, he's like, I really apologize for
my
failed
shit,
joke.
I thought that was going to do way better.
Yeah, no, right after she said
time?
That, she said, all right.
Can we bring our host back up? Because I think right. that's my time.
God, yeah.
Oh, this is bad.
But then, you know, Joe Biden had a few moments where he was, I don't know, some people were saying he was play acting like he was gay at times by sort of flirting. People felt like he was flirting or
he's
that he
got
was...
one move.
Right.
It,
right.
Man or woman, he's going to be like, hey, how's it going?
Right.
Yeah, old yeah. man. Yeah.
He joked that he was going to, like, about to come out. He, like, mimed giving Anderson Cooper a kiss. But then there was just one soundbite. Yeah. Like, it was, this is Joe Biden, y'all. This is, I know it sounds like fucking absurd, but when you hear this one clip, now a lot of people are focusing on this one moment. He was, I think he was trying to say how far we've come along around like sort of our rhetoric around the like LGBTQ issues. And he starts
I'm
off.
I'm already uncomfortable.
I know. It starts off saying, remember Anderson? Back like 15, 20 years ago, we talked about this in San Francisco. Take away the rest of the clip.
We talked about this in San Francisco. It's all about, well, you know, gay bathhouses and everybody. It's all about round the clock sex. It's all. Come on, man.
Then he goes on and says, gay couples are more likely to stay together than heterosexual couples. And then Anderson Cooper was like, all right, we'll leave it there.
He sounds like a, if you just flip what he's doing, he still sounds like a preacher, and he's like, and they go in there and they the touch your pee-pees together,
right.
And then the devil comes right. in, he pokes him in the belly, and he's like, hey, hey, right. you know,
it's
and then,
so...
and then they get all their juices in a pile, and that's how AIDS happened. I mean, what? Cut. No, what?
We'll leave it there, Vice okay. President Biden. Thank you so much. Go to Joel 3069, huh? 69,
Jesus.
All right, y'all, I've been Joe. But yeah, it was that was an interesting moment. And there were a few moments where like a couple activists were really speaking out. But there were moments where one woman was calling out CNN specifically for what they were saying was an erasure of black trans women.
Mm.
And noting that a lot of the people who were speaking out or asking questions that were like, you know, predetermined to ask questions were not trans women of color, although I think later on there were. And there were moments where, like, you know, like all of the candidates were very like respectful. I'm not sure what Joe Biden would have done had something happened there, but like right. it like happened with Pete, it happened with Beto, Kamala.
Calm but, down, it.
Is yeah,
that, is that okay?
I've almost
is that
feel
okay
it.
To say?
I could have imagined if it was Joe Biden and Chris Cuomo, if
oh,
it was
yeah.
that pairing, not
yeah.
Chris Cuomo or Anderson Cooper and Joe Biden, where the fuck that would have gone with two, you know, cishet dudes just being like.
all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hold up.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back, and it's time to check in with the whistleblower story.
Wow. It makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the whistle. I mean,
just that maybe there's the tide could change a little bit.
The too short part.
The too short song. Yeah,
and the rest of it is just, it makes me nauseous.
So just a big Short Dog fan.
I do love Too Short.
There may be more whistleblowers coming forward. They may have come forward over the weekend since we've recorded this. We don't know what the content is, but we do know that there are more whistleblowers who have something
reached
that
out.
That they're like, oh, Right. Don't so we're doing this now?
Like, I feel like a lot of people are being like, what is the process?
Right.
Like, that's what they're doing. Yeah. Like, it's just like,
right.
Yep. And then the whistleblowing people are like, we've never, this is like one person in this department.
Right. That's just,
we are backlogged.
Someone at random.
We have a long, like,
yeah,
this is just Glenda.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And this usually takes her a while.
Right.
I wonder if it is sort of seeing that the response to the first one and how Congress was really adamant about protecting them and trying to keep this like a legal, semi-legal process of doing this is encouraging other people now too. Because I wonder if before that they're like, who knows what the fuck's going to happen if I do this? Like it might fall on deaf ears, get completely, you know, stifled.
I mean, it's like a lot of movements when like one person comes out and is brave, then other people, you know, take that lead.
Like, I'm not going to get shot.
Right.
But I'll be right behind the person that don't get shot.
Right.
Let's talk about how Mike Pence is dealing with this, though, because we've seen how he experiences, how he reacts to conflict
high
before when he closed his eyes and just tried not to move when the president was yelling at Nancy.
He's great.
Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. So he found himself at the end of last week under fire. He was being asked questions about what his relationship was to all the events that we're learning about.
Because they know, again, you know, Trump was very quickly threw him under the bus at the beginning.
So like,
why don't you ask Trump, Mike Pence about his talks with them?
Right.
And do you think Pence at that second was like, oh, I'm not going to get to be vice president.
Right,
I'm
not going to get to be president.
Oh, I'm sure. But because now, like, everyone who's been near this thing has gotten dirt on them. And when he was asked by Von Hilliard, you know, credit to him because he was making it, these questions very easy to answer about establishing a timeline of like whether you're not
right.
Not even because obviously the question that everyone sidesteps is, do you think it's appropriate for the president of the United States to ask a foreign leader to dig up dirt on a political opponent? That's the one question every GOP person goes sidesteps and does whatever. So Von Hilliard's tactic was, you know, were you aware of the Ukrainian aid being held up? Was that known to you? Did you know this just to sort of establish these things? And Mike Pence, good Lord.
You won't be able to hear this. I mean, you will, but just so to give you a visual, I've never seen someone look more uncomfortable than he does. Like at one point, I don't know.
Imagine Mike Pence, someone just opened a Hustler magazine and showed Mike Pence.
That's really what it feels like.
The middle of
his like knees are bending in like a way, but then like he's also like drawing his penis and butt back a little bit.
Oh yeah,
he's like trying to shift his torso away from the journalist.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But now let's listen.
In the beginning, you're gonna hear a lot of like mechanical noise because I think they're at some airbase because
they're winding him up.
Yeah, right. But you will hear.
Where's this USB?
The questions you'll see begin to emerge about really trying to corner Pence to get him to answer very specifically about his knowledge of this plan.
Right.
Well, were you ever aware, Mr. Vice President, an interest in investigating the Bidens was at least in part of the reason?
He said, did you know that aid was being held up because of the Bidens?
I never discussed the issue of the Bidens with President Zelensky, and what I can tell you is that all of our discussions internally, I mean, the president and our team, in our context, in my office with Ukraine, were entirely focused on the broader issues of the lack of European support.
But you were aware of the interest in the Bidens being investigated.
I was.
Is that being tied to aid to Ukraine being held up?
That's your question. Let me be very clear. The issue of aid and our efforts with regard to Ukraine.
Okay, he just starts meandering.
Yeah.
Hold on.
He just starts meandering.
That's...
No, he's been, he meandered, and then he just gets
but
going.
But when you go, that's your question.
Did you cheat on me? Well, that's your question.
No.
Isn't it?
It is. Right. So were you aware that this interest in an investigation to the Bidens was tied to the aid for Ukraine?
Well, so that's you.
That's your question.
Asking that.
Right. And see, this is what I'm going to tell you. That's your question. Von Hilliard from NBC News. I am Mike Pence, the vice president, okay?
That is you asking that question. This is me silently pooping my pants.
Right. Well, that's your question is my favorite response to anything, I think.
Fuck?
Like, that's just... Yeah.
When did you decide y'all were going to get a divorce? When he replied, well, that's your question. Like, and I was like, okay. It's,
well, that's your opinion, but in the form of, yeah. but in a form that makes no sense.
Yes, it is completely stunned.
Well, that's just like
the articulate version question, would be man. Like, well, the premise, I actually don't agree with the premise right. of this question where you're blah, blah, blah. Because he's just like,
it is the political version of fuck you in an argument.
Right.
Is yeah. what that line is. I like, mean, yeah. well, that's your question.
That's your question, and I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
Butthole.
About what?
About that. That was my question. yeah. I know that there was no mystery around that.
That was very clear.
I don't feel like you, the second part is true at all.
of what? Who are you? I'm Von Hill, right, from NBC, right? Yeah. And that was your question.
He just says, I want to quit being vice president yeah. right
I quit.
Now.
I'm out.
What if
I
he
quit.
Like looked around and goes, can I not do this? Like, to a handler?
You don't want to do it anymore.
Oh, man. This is, very quickly, it reminds me of a moment. Barry Jenkins, who directed Moonlight, when he was first nominated for that film, when I was making like digital content for these magazines, I did an interview with him that was kind of like funny-ish, where he would talk about like, he was interviewing himself, basically. Yeah. And I was like, I just need you to ask a question to this side of the camera and then answer. And he's like, oh, okay. And then we start. And he just looked at his publicist and goes, can I not do this? and like looked at me. He's like, do I have to do this? I'm like, no, absolutely not. I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't even want to do this.
I want to leave right now. Right. No, but, you do not.
Yeah,
know.
And then like the publicist's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I get it, dude. Like this guy is an indie filmmaker, and suddenly he's like, everyone's in his face. I'm trying to get him to do a fucking right. bit. But it was the most sincere moment of like just being like, do I have to do this the game? Because I don't like it.
I wanted to make them. I want to make movies.
Right? Yeah, I was like, no, please do your thing. Like you're better than that. Let me make these dumb viral videos.
It's like they talked about George W. Bush when he was running for president. There was this moment where he was like in New Hampshire, just going to everywhere, and he's in this hotel, and they're like, all right, now you got to go somewhere, and he's just laying on this bed, and they're like, all right, you got to go speak to these people, and he just went, do I have to? and I was like, that's who that dude is.
Yes. Yes.
And he war crimed his way to the top.
Do I have to?
Do I have to?
But he was good at remembering people's names.
Oh, was that his skill that made him personable?
Like Michael Scott.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, he's like a social, like a genius of socializing, which is how he.
I mean, look at how he's.
I'm good at parties too.
Right. Yeah. I'm not. So
but
I
my dad
that
wasn't the head of the CIA, so I didn't get to be president.
I know. All right, let's talk about Fox News and the evolving relationship between the Trump White House and Fox News.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked last week about how Trump had that amazing response to Fox merely publishing a poll that they had conducted.
I think it sucks.
What do you say? the pollsters there suck.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was the other thing where he's like, yeah, well, and the ender was like, and I'm president, so.
Yeah, so sorry.
Okay. So, you know, that was him being pretty upset
that
day.
He's cool.
And then was saying, like, One America News is my new best friend. Best friendship with Fox News has been terminated.
Right.
And later that day, William Barr, the attorney general, went to visit Rupert Murdoch at his home in New York for we don't know what. So what does the attorney general need to go to the head of Fox? What business does the attorney general
well,
have
I think
to
that,
visit him?
I think that's more of like a, hey, that's like a grovel situation. That's a groveling situation.
It's one of a couple directions. It's like, we're losing Fox, go get Rupert. Or Rupert may have said something like, I'm sorry, bro, we can't really, we're going to just let this play out.
Well, I think that's what it is. And he has to be like, I think Rupert is a businessman.
Right.
So Trump was good for business for a while.
Yeah.
And now he's not. So they're going to do business elsewhere. And they recognize that. And he was like, hey, you need to go talk to the Australian motherfucker.
Right.
And then they went over there. And because here's the situation. Whoever has the power doesn't leave. That you come to them. So that's the sign right there. It's not a good sign that the AG is going to them.
Right.
Unless there's some threat he's delivering from there,
too. No. They say, hey, you come here.
Right.
Because we have to tell you something.
Well, that, and I think, well, maybe there has to be some kind of negotiation, though. I don't think Bill Barr would go.
Have you watched Succession?
You think he just went there to be. Yeah.
I just feel like that show's way truer than we want it to be.
Sure. But I still think in any instance, right? And I think especially for Trump, because this is the whole thing is like essentially if it's the version where Bill Barr is telling Murdoch kind of like, hey, this whole thing is going to get pretty ugly. And like if we want to kind of keep this going up, can you help out with the narrative? And I think maybe that's at least the piece of information Barr was presenting. I don't think it might have swayed Rupert Murdoch if he's decided what he's going to do. But I'm saying there's still.
I think they were groveling. I think they're right, groveling.
Of being but see, here's the deal.
Because
if you
Trump's,
don't help, this
Trump's
all comes down.
Classic, like his whole thing is he overplays everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's done with Fox. He thought they were. He misunderstood what they were doing. He thought that they were fans of his.
Right.
And they
they're
were
not
like,
side gang.
And they were like, no, we want these people.
Right.
This number of people.
Right.
If we say these things, they tune into fucking everything we say.
Right.
And
right,
do.
Right.
As long as we click these things.
Right.
And then, oh, looks like, hey, they don't give a shit about you anymore.
Right.
So
boop.
And now we're talking shit about you, and they love it.
Right.
And then those guys are like, oh, nah.
Well, see, that's where I'm curious to see what
happens.
Oh, that
was our whole thing. Ah.
But what happens to ratings, right? Because I think on some level, there are people who are more loyal to Trump than to Fox News. And at what point does that...
I don't think it's as many people as you think.
But I'm curious to know. I know. And I think, but that's a true... I would love to discover what that actually ends up being. Because I think as it's happening... Trump is slowly being like, we don't like them, we don't like them. How many people can he migrate to One America, whatever the fuck, or Twitch, or whatever the fuck he's doing?
It'll be so smaller than you think. Because what Fox is so good at doing is making their viewers justify throwing things that they truly believe under the bus in a slow way that they can keep that same base, and then he won't be able to migrate anybody. Because it's not as slick.
Well, he definitely got 40,000 people to follow his Twitch channel in 24 hours.
Well,
he
those
went
are
to Twitch. I don't
know that
shit. Did you say 40,000?
40,000 the first
that's
24
hours.
That's not that much.
Well, I mean, if you consider how many people are like,
are
it's
on
not
Twitch.
Like,
yeah
you already have to be fucking with Twitch, but I guess he's going where the homies are. I could maybe he gets so desperate, he's like, fuck it, I'm going to have to start streaming gaming to get my followers back.
Look, Miles, as somebody who knows literally nothing about Twitch, that's not that good, okay?
That's not good.
There could literally be 40,000 people on Twitch. I don't know.
No, there's
millions.
A couple more.
The front page of FoxNews.com, as of this recording, has a picture of Donald Trump Jr. looking whiny, and the caption is, "It's not fair."
Oh.
So maybe they are turning on him.
No, they are.
That would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, so this guy from...
you start looking at the polls and like, oh, like the actual polls. And you're like, oh, all these people like this lady that wants to kill all these billionaires.
Right.
right.
Okay. We need to start getting these people back on our side because I'm one of the billionaires.
Yeah. Like there is out of touch old guy vice president. And then the next two are people who are drumming up the fucking and the billionaire class.
Why?
Tracks.
I didn't torches and pitchforks. What the hell?
The one thing I can't explain. If it's really going in that direction, is why his approval rating is still just basically staying solid at 42% right now.
Because you can manipulate any of those things. Because also, are they who are they asking? Or is it a landline?
Well,
thing?
This is the 538 like average of all the polls that they've like graded and regraded, and so
I always think of like what my junior year sociology professor said the first day of class was 68.7 of all statistics are inaccurate.
Right.
68.7. It's good. Funny. The polling, though, there was I think on Talking Points, someone was analyzing the polls to see exactly where the shift happened. And it was the day after the quote-unquote transcript summary of the call came out is when things went from before that there was a whistleblower to there was no movement.
Yeah.
Then that came out, and that's when even the Republican side started swinging. So even then, I mean, like, maybe the approval might be right, but I don't – maybe some people can't feel like, I like him, but maybe he shouldn't be president.
Do you approve? You're like, what's that word mean?
Right.
Prove what?
Approve. Yes, he is the president. I approve of that.
I can prove that.
That is a fact that I approve of.
There's a opinion piece in the Washington Post at the end of last week from a guy who worked at the CIA. He's the COO at Lawfare, which is like a security, national security, and
it's
like
the CIA legal. Light. It's,
yeah.
It's, yeah. Those aren't calories.
But he was saying that basically he's pointing out how all the assumptions that say the Senate would never remove him from office are using Clinton and Johnson, like the other two people who were impeached, and
they weren't really doing crimes.
They weren't really doing crimes. He points out that Johnson's crimes included speaking ill of Congress in public.
Shit, man. I did that. I've done that. I'll be honest.
Clinton's acquittal.
Yeah, I've done that. We don't have to edit this. Leave this in.
You've done it. You're guilty.
I've done that.
And then Clinton perjured himself, but he was also...
But I was just trying to get my dick sucked, y'all. Right.
It was a personal... It was perjury about a personal thing and not something that was based on presidency.
So. Yeah, he was like, listen.
Getting dome.
Yeah. I'm done at president at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Right.
If I'm getting dome at 5:01...
What is the problem?
Shut your mouth.
Right.
Even though I'm coercing a young intern into doing it.
Nah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just saying, you know, and then if approval ratings fall and support for impeachment continues to rise, then he could definitely see it go in the other direction.
That Republicans
would remove him.
I mean, because that's the thing. At a certain point, right, are y'all willing to like make your last stand on this with this as the leader going into it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if we're really going to completely rat fuck the Constitution like that, then who's to say that he wouldn't just be your forever leader?
Right.
And I don't think they want to hitch their wagon to that star.
Well, I think they saw that. I think he really showed his true cards in the turkey dip.
Right.
I think that's
where the GOP was like, oh shit, there's no line.
He doesn't even get like honor or any. They're just basic sort
but
of
they knew that.
Allegiances.
I think the turkey thing was just about him. Basically, them. You know, they can't turn on him yet on the impeachment stuff. So they realize, well, we can shit on him with regards to his, you know, treating
foreign
the Kurds
policy.
Like shit.
But it is objectively such a stupid, fucked up thing to do.
Oh, totally. But I just think that it was like people's opportunity to turn on him without. So I guess it goes back to what this guy is saying that like.
It was like how the Popeyes chicken sandwich came out like a few days after Jay-Z signed the deal with the NFL. And people were like, you know what? I'm going to put all my energy into the Popeyes chicken sandwich because I don't want to talk about the NFL thing with Jay-Z anymore.
I don't want to think about that. That's exactly right. It's a Popeyes Jay-Z situation.
It's called an outrage transfer, dude. Like a fucking half pipe transfer.
Yeah. The communicative property.
Somewhere in
a
political science class, somebody just wrote that down. That's known as the Popeyes Jay-Z.
Popeyes Jay-Z outrage transfer.
It's going to be
Gray's principle of outrage
transfer. Of outrage transfer.
Three generations going to be called the wag the dog. It's gonna be like, oh, that's the Popeyes Jay-Z.
the Pop Z.
Lindsey Graham had some interesting things to say about Turkey, to Turkey, in fact, on a prank phone call that came from... So basically, Vladimir Putin prank called Lindsey Graham.
No.
Yeah, basically.
Like the Russian equivalent of the Jerky Boys, who many people suspect have like Kremlin backing.
Cool.
Because their whole thing is...
No, that's awesome.
They prank call, you know, really prominent politicians and shit and get them to say stuff. They asked Adam Schiff if like he wanted nude pictures of Donald Trump, and his answer was like... Yeah, let me refer you to the FBI so you can get those to me.
Right.
Was like
Lindsey Graham said that?
Adam Schiff said when he was asked about like
that's
when they
smart.
Pranked him. He was like, "Of course, let me direct you to the FBI."
Yeah. So Lindsey Graham on the other hand was much messier. He basically said like, "Look, the president
who did he think he was talking to?
Turkish defense minister."
Right. So
okay.
He said, I'm the Turkish defense minister. He was like, sure you are. I totally believe you. And then he proceeded to talk to him and say, the president and I are with you when it comes to the Kurds being threats. These are supposed to be our allies. And Lindsey Graham's like, yeah, me and the president get it. you got to kill these fuckers, basically, is where he was coming from.
He was definitely appeasing.
Yeah, him. Appeasing. And then also kept talking about the, quote, Turkish bank case.
Yeah, there's an interest in it. Trump has an interest
Trump has an interest in a Turkish bank case. And people are trying to figure out what that is. They think it refers to a U.S. case involving Reza Zarab, an Iranian-Turkish gold trader.
Uh-huh.
And client of Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani.
Hmm?
Oh, Giuliani, yeah. Man. He's a great, you know,
he must
skunk
be
works,
raking
baby.
In the fucking money the way he's probably fleecing all these people. He's like, oh, yeah, I can handle that.
I wonder if he's going to say that he took him down on purpose from the inside.
Oh,
he will.
He's Mr. To. Flip.
He'll have to.
I mean, he took down the mafia, then became the mafia.
Right.
And yeah, then will become, oh, I helped take him down again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Why I should be president.
Uh-huh. And then he'll buy Epstein's Island.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, but look, I have a Yankees World Series ring that I wear all the time.
He's a fucking
when he does these interviews and his fucking gaudy rings come into frame, you're like, dude, you just look like a mob fucking.
He looks like a Dick Tracy character. Is
really?
What he
really
looks like.
Is starting to look like a Dick Tracy character.
But his
what would
thing
his
is
name
it,
be?
It would be the guy who puts in his AirPods upside down. Like that's his thing. It's like, it's him, upside down pod.
Wait, is there a picture of him
yes,
with the AirPods upside down?
He flipped the shit so the fucking mic was going up like an old like FM radio headset.
He's hammered drunk all the time.
I know. Just drunk constantly.
His office is a cigar bar.
Yeah, right. At 666 Fifth Avenue.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't there last time. I wish I'd have known that. I would have tried to go up there. I was right by there last month. Oh,
yeah, that cigar bar there. He hangs out, and that's where he always talks about how he's going to fucking, the president ain't going to fuck him. I'll do a podcast. That's my favorite thing I keep hearing about.
The writing's getting lazy, guys.
Could I pitch a podcast with Rudy Giuliani?
Yes.
If I could make that happen, you think iHeartMedia would be like, yeah, we're in on that.
I mean, you'd probably, it would be a democracy, if we want to call this a democracy, but a republic-saving podcast where you'd probably, he'd think you're so funny.
Yes.
And then tell you the most awful shit and just give it all up.
Yeah.
He's like, the thing you got to know about Trump. He's like, are these mics off? And you're like, yes, Rudy.
But sure, please, man.
But hold on. Let me just get a little bit closer. Okay, so here's the deal. These are off, you know?
Like, those mics are off. Those mics right there are off. Yes.
These ones are on, and so is my phone. We're live on Instagram.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and
breaking news.
DJ Daniel. Dun, dun, dun. We need to get a breaking news sting. Note to self.
Just use that recording from now on.
Okay, yeah. There we go. So Trump got 40,000 followers in his first day on Twitch. Bernie apparently got 70,000 his first day on Twitch. Uh-huh. And Bob Ross, the ultimate god, if he was still alive, he would be our president and our god emperor, got 180,000. In Damn. One day. So
you hate to see it.
Yeah. It's tough.
I just say that to everything now.
Damn.
You just hate to see it, man.
You just really do. Is that good?
Did you like it?
If you know, if I haven't been listening to you, I'm gonna respond with, oh, is that good?
And also, oh, that sucks, man. Oh,
dude, that sucks, man. Dude.
Did you eat it?
What?
What?
I have an ear infection.
Did you try to eat it?
Is it good? Is that
What's the texture like?
Let's talk cruise ships and why I will never go on one.
I, for one, will go on a cruise ship. I know you
love
these.
I love
these. Do you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's not about.
Do you drink?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there we have the answer.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's always the people that like it. They're always like, no, they're fun. I'm like, do you blackout drink? They're like, yes.
Exactly.
What's blackout drink?
You don't know what that is?
No, this is how I have a good
That's
time.
That's why you can still drink.
I have a good time.
You don't know what that is.
I have a good time. I drink. I wake up. And then Her Majesty's like, you need to apologize to a few people.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened? Is that blackout?
Do you not remember?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's
called drinking, though, right?
That's, everybody yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought for a long time. And then some people told me that it's bad.
Yeah. Oh,
they introduced themselves by their first name.
Yes.
And then said, yeah. First name,
no,
last initial.
No, they just had their first initial last name on their ID badge. Oh, that's right. Who were like, this is bad.
I'm Yes.
Why you have
that
a gun?
Actually,
you have
that
a
actually
gun?
Did scare the shit out of me because I used to, when I would drink, I would sleepwalk and Ooh. Just like would be out on my feet, basically. And
that's black. Out, yeah. You can call it sleepwalking.
Believe yeah, it but or it not, be, I'm yeah. blacking out.
I would get up from being passed out and just like wander around and like fall downstairs and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was always certain that I would fall off a cruise ship if I ever went on.
Oh, fuck yeah, wow. You would.
Yeah.
Well, good thing you're dry now.
Yeah. That's like keeping the perfect spot.
Oh yeah. That is definitely.
If
how
your
I
wife
would've...
is ever like, we need to go drinking on the cruise right. ship,
and looking like Rose like, and Titanic this. On that right. first scene when your feet on the bout and the rail. Till I come, like, hey,
sign this contract.
That's how I would have gone.
It's from, no, you know what
it
is.
Omaha.
It's not even the drinking part. It's that everything is self-contained. And right. it ends up, you end up going to different places while having the illusion of never leaving somewhere. It's because I'm very lazy.
It's like a casino.
Yeah, but with bad stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And sometimes good ones, actually.
No, I have some friends that do it.
Yeah.
They're all right.
Would you ever do a cruise gig?
The right one? I've been doing stand-up comedy long enough to know the answer to that is like, for the right amount of money, I'll do fucking anything.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll do the QAnon festival.
In a bikini on a rich guy's yacht.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway,
Jeff Bezos will be calling you shortly.
Yes, and I bet he pays better than anyone's ever paid me. Right. Like, what'd you wear? Nothing. I didn't wear anything. It was awesome. I didn't even have to worry about that.
Just had to dance around a little bit.
I had to wear a bunch of those Prime Dash buttons.
He's like, you got to be naked. And I was like, cool. I didn't want to think about what I had to wear.
So the easiest gig I've ever had. Norwegian cruise, right? These people signed up for a 2-week cruise that was supposed to go, like, stop off in Amsterdam and go to Iceland. And, like, a lot of people were really into the Iceland part. So, they got the fucking over of a lifetime when it basically didn't stop at a single fucking place it was supposed to. On the day they were supposed to go to Amsterdam, they were like, hey, the weather is too fucked up.
They don't have any weed. They're out of weed. Sorry, like, guys. Nah, we're not even going
to
stop.
We're going to go to New Jersey.
So when they got there, they're like, look, we're going to have to go to Normandy. And then when they got to Normandy, they're like, actually, we got to cancel because the weather's too bad. And like, what the fuck? So people were like, fine, whatever, we get it. They're like, as long as we can get to Iceland.
So instead of going to the place where weed and shrooms are legal, you go to the place where you think about the deadliest day in the history of the Allied invasion.
Remember the most shaking part of Saving Private Ryan? We're going to go there.
Yeah. The part that made you throw up for multiple reasons. You're like,
this is the start of the movie.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And
Christ.
Guys, just get off in your landing craft. We're going to Omaha
Grandpa
Beach.
Why is Grandpa crying? Why is Grandpa crying at the movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's kept saying something about Dog Green Sector. Right. So when they get there, they were like, okay, no fucking Normandy, whatever. We just want to go to Iceland. Then they get there. When they're about to go to Iceland, like, look, we're really sorry. We actually can't even go there. We have to cancel this. We're going to go to more towns in Norway. And they go to these...
We're in a warehouse in Long Beach. We never left. Yeah, we just would rock the warehouse every now and then.
And just a huge projection screen around you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they get to these towns in Norway that are
You're in a Chevy commercial.
They're like, these people can't believe how fucked their cruise was. Right. These are not actors. When they get there... They're going to towns that have already closed up for like the tourist season. So there's like one stop just had a grocery store open. And they're like, what the fuck is this? There's not even anything to do.
I'm going
to
interrupt again and say, I would love to go on this cruise.
Right.
Because as someone that's like hates them, watching people that are like, I love to go where the shops are and see the stuff things. And then they've got these. And you don't even have to like get next to the real people that live there because it's like.
It's like, all quarantined
it's
off.
It's like roped off so you can get your fudge and not have to feel awkward speaking Spanish or something.
Right.
And then I'm just there like eating edibles, being like, everyone's so mad. This is awesome.
Just like watching from like the upper decks. Like,
did he do this? Why is he laughing so hard? I'm just like cry laughing.
Well, that's where it got to though, because the fucking toilet stopped working and then the food went stale and the people started fucking like taking the like main communal spaces and like chanting like refund and getting in like the administrative
spaces. Like Lord
spaces.
Of the Flies turned quick.
Yeah. Right. But it's funny because you always hear about these like awful cruise ship things where like and sewage was coming out of everywhere.
Right.
Sloshing the fucking true kick in the balls comes in the form of like the letter that they gave to passengers being like, you know, unfortunately like there was bad weather and sometimes that happens because we put the safety of our passengers and our crew first. That's why we didn't do it.
We were looking
to make
for
up
you
for this. We are willing to offer you 25% off your next cruise booking that has to be used in 24 months.
That's a pretty good deal.
Wow.
What a fuck. I mean, I would have just started stealing shit off the fucking
pole. Oh, yeah.
Everything.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. I know you're standing in your own feces right now. But I'll tell you what we're going to do.
I want a refund.
We'll tell you what you want to do. We're going to give you a spoon, let you eat your own shit.
Oh, my God.
Pretty good deal, Brenda. Free spoon.
What's the alternative? No spoon. Okay, let's take the spoon.
Use your hand.
Yeah.
Let's talk about drive-thrus, Miles. This fucked with me, man.
Oh, no.
Drive-thrus might be bad for the world.
Or not. I don't know. That's don't like know. The gist is because there's apparently been a move.
No. Here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to, before we even say it, it's not yes. straws. It's not the drive thru.
It's the food that is being served there.
It is these giant mega corporations, oil corporations.
Yeah.
That's who's truly killing us. It's not that we use too many goddamn straws.
Mm. Yeah.
It's that they're putting people under profits.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
People over profits.
Whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
See, that's a problem. That's why I can't be a politician. There'll always be somebody like, well, you meant to say this.
Wait.
Like, okay, I'm sorry. The momentum.
I think it works either way.
But you know what I mean.
I don't. Like I'm a rabble rouser from the crowd.
I just don't.
What about his
you said a word
specials?
Wrong. It's like those.
Go to episode 42 of Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah, that would be like, no, I couldn't ever be a politician.
I think you probably could, or people like us could, because there's you're not going to hide anything. You're like, yeah, look, I'm a human being who says stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not here to
hey,
pretend.
Did you ever have sex? Right? Yeah, check out my second album. I talk all about it.
Yeah, you can. My whole your Oppo research is in the form of my stand-up.
My friend put his finger in his pee hole. It was pretty fun.
I'm sorry, you want to be president? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good at policy and motivating people, and I understand military strategy really well, but right. also have friends that put their finger in their pee hole because
seems like it was.
You ever seen this? Pretty funny.
Hey, who else has that in their wheelhouse, huh? That's what I'm saying. As a leader, I can say I've seen something like that.
I think if anyone, George W. Bush, probably.
Right. Oh, my God, yeah.
I've seen that.
This whole, like.
Clinton's over there like, I can do it. See? Feels good.
Fucking put three in there. Minneapolis became the latest city to. They're passing ordinances that are banning the construction of new drive-through windows, and it's happening like Long Beach and New Jersey, parts of Missouri. But the reasons they're saying is about like pollution, to cut down on pollution, or like obesity. But here's the deal: like you're saying, these are just very like topical band-aid fixes to a like the ship is sinking. Let's put a band-aid on like this one part.
Well, I understand the thought process, though, is like to make these things visible at your daily life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you become aware on this bigger right. scale of what's happening.
Yeah.
There's this Los Gatos, California, which is like a little enclave in Silicon Valley. It's where a lot of CEOs live. We have an aunt that lives there. They don't
the
have
cats.
The cats.
Yes.
Your aunt is Nan Pierce from Succession.
I'd be cool. She is cool though, but it's my aunt in law. But they don't have drive-throughs at these.
Right.
Right.
And they don't have many. They don't have many fast food places either.
Mm.
So it's just like, and well, they're not that busy.
Well,
you have to go in. It cuts down on all that shit because the whole thing is convenience.
Well, the thing they point to, right, because they tried this in South LA, and the data showed that obesity rates went up even when trying to do this, because a lot of people end up. Like, it's not that it's the drive-through that's even enabling it at times. Sometimes it's just the cheap, most affordable food you can eat. So, really, there are other factors that are actually in play to this. So, it's like, that's really not it. That's, like, really oversimplifying this kind of issue. That's really what's going to happen because, the rates climbed over the 3 years that they were actually, like, analyzing the data. And also,
I think they should go the other way and you should be able to drive up and they put the food in your mouth for you.
It's coming.
Yeah.
That's called platinum service.
It's just like a t-shirt cannon with a Big Mac.
Boom. Like, okay, unhinge
Thank
your jaw,
you.
Sir.
Thank you. See you in a minute.
Well, they also, the thing that they also point to also that who have analyzed these kinds of things is that even though if you can, you know, dissuade someone from just like passively like being in their car and getting like having a drive-thru option, a lot of people just might go through like an Uber Eats or a Grubhub. So, which is actually even worse for the environment if you're now sending more people on the road to get your food. So there's like a lot of things where people are kind of cutting the data up and being like, is that the problem? Is that really what's going to happen? Is it the drive-through that's causing the pollution? Is it the lack of regulation around emissions that's the problem? But it's sort of speaking to your point is that I think these sort of ordinances have the feel of doing something well, but without sort of completely, I think, objectively looking at the drivers of the kinds of things they're trying to fix.
Yeah. We've just got to make a colossal change as a species.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see. And, it might happen one way or the other.
And I don't know if you've read history. We're so good at collectively doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
best
yeah.
at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so good at, like, repeating it too.
Mm-hmm.
We're good at it when it's like too late.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. That's like, when it
oh,
is.
Like, oh, shit. This hurts.
Shit, they turned off the power. We should pay.
They're
the
like,
bill.
Damn, yeah. That red notice on the door was serious, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, we have the money. That's right. Not yeah, even the
that's
thing.
That's not the problem. I was just like, they'll probably give me a couple
just,
more days.
I just don't want to go to the place.
I'm curious, Billy, to ask you about this thing in Georgia that's happening with snakehead fish.
I don't know where.
Okay, so there's been a proliferation of snakeheads.
Hell yeah.
Which are fish that can breathe outside of water.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Like for like a brief period, but they have the capability of surviving above the water. And like, I guess they were really popular in aquariums, but they started like showing up in Gwinnett County or something in lakes because they suspect a lot of people were just dumping them into the, like most species that are foreign. Yeah. People just dump their
like
shit.
All of the Everglades are fucking pythons now.
Right.
Yes.
So with this one, they were very like the state of Georgia just put out this instructions to people if they come across these fish that just says, what should you do if you find a snakehead? Anglers are the first line of defense. If you think you've caught a northern snakehead, one, all caps red, do not release it. Two, kill it immediately and freeze it. They can survive on land.
And freeze it?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Three, if possible, take pictures of the fish. Include close-ups of its mouth, fins, and tail. Four, note where it was caught, like the water body, landmarks, or GPS coordinates. Immediately report it to the regional Georgia DNR Wildlife Resources Division Fisheries Office. So a lot of the people are saying that, you know, when they think about these new invasive species, obviously one version is like, it's probably fine. But they are just so unwilling because they're like, the second you introduce something like this, it's going to fuck the whole food chain up, no matter what. Because it all at one segment, it's going to disrupt things. And I'm not very familiar with angling or fishing, but I guess that the people who are out there are probably like, if these fish are fucking up my bass fishing or something, then maybe it's good to enlist the anglers.
Well, I think the misconception that a lot of people that want to protect the environment and animals have against hunters is that they're not conservationists. Like most people I know that hunt and fish care more about the environment than most people I know.
Right.
Because they're out in it every day.
Right.
I mean, there are the assholes who are like, I'm going to kill as much as I can. And you're like, how did the army miss you?
Right.
You
know what I mean? Right.
But like these people, I think what they understand, I don't know if you've ever traveled through the South, there's this, plant called kudzu.
It's
from
that covers everything now.
And it just they can't kill it. The fun thing is now there's little festivals popping up because you can eat it and all this shit, but they can't kill it. It just covers everything. It looks cool.
Yeah.
But then
like
you
vines.
Realize they can't stop it.
Right.
So I think that people probably see that. And
right.
Think
or just
that,
any
and
other
then they look
thing.
In the Everglades.
Right.
And they're just wiping out all the other species.
Yeah.
Because they're not supposed to be there. And they have no. And these motherfuckers can live on land.
I think that's just one. Just walk it. Basically, it's like flapping across land like a snake and going into the water.
I think that's more the thing to be like, listen, kill it. Because if it goes walking on land and like your grandmother or some religious person sees it,
we're fucked. Yeah.
They don't need to see stuff like this because they're like, this is the end times.
Right. Smashed
He's
up
right.
Snakehead
the
fish.
Preacher man's right. The orange one brought the serpents.
Billy Wayne, it's been a pleasure having you.
It always
Where
is.
Can people find you, follow you?
At Instagram and Twitter, at Billy Wayne Davis. I am going on tour very soon. This week, I am doing a Live Behind the Bastards in Portland on Thursday.
With Robert Evans?
With Robert Evans. And I think that's sold out, which is, it's a smaller place, so, and we didn't know that it would do so well, so thank you guys. And then Friday, I'm in Salem doing stand-up, and Saturday, I'm in Eugene doing stand-up, and then I'm back in the Northwest in Seattle, November 1st and 2nd, Atlanta, Houston, and some other places. BWDTour.com. Thank you for letting me get that spiel out.
No, of course, man.
My babies appreciate it.
Pull up for Billy Wayne.
Please do.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
He hasn't had a phone, man.
That's right. It's been really...
What about an old folk song you've been singing to yourself?
What I do, and my wife pointed it out today, is the band Hoobastank is, I couldn't name one of their songs. I don't know what they, but I use it as like a mantra when I'm playing with my son. I'm just like saying like Hoobastank, Hoobastank.
Have you heard this line? I'm not a perfect person.
Oh, is that who they are? Yeah, that's them.
Then you do know who.
But if you played that, I'd be like, "Who? What's the name of that band?" Yeah, and I say that name all, and I think it comes from that. Just Galifianakis's his monologue on SNL both times. He was like, "And welcome your musical guest, Hoobastank," and they're like, "No." He's like, "Oh, okay." And then the second time, he's like, "Hoobastank," and they're like, "No." He's like, "Still no." Okay.
Still no. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A couple tweets that I like. First one is from Rob Delaney at Rob Delaney. Very simple. I've had sex.
Hell yeah, Rob.
And also another one from Ariana Lenarski at Aardvarsk. When British people see the word mom, how does it make them feel? Because when we see mum, we secretly lose our shit and picture the 1700s.
That's true.
Like mom.
Mum.
It's Victorian. Also, if you're in the Chicago area October 16th at 7 p.m. at the Hungry Brain, you can experience firsthand the power, the magic, the majesty of Ethnically Ambiguous, the podcast that's hosted by our very own Anna Hosnier and Shireen Yunez. Pull up. Have a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Do it.
And get your tickets at ChicagoPodcastFestival.com.
Christopher Ashman tweeted me, "I'm depressed. Therapist, try a good walk. Me, will that work? Therapist, yes." Subtly gives a thumbs up to my dog. And then Lonely Otter at Otter Loneliness in parentheses, guy who's about to invent carbonation, drinking water. I wish this hurt. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is a collabo between a group called Marabu State and the band Kruongbin, who we've played here a few times before. It's a good meeting of rhythms. It's just got that very psyche feel. Plus, it's just something to get the week started on. Mm. Not too low, but not too intense. You know what I mean? And it's called Feel Good.
Feel good, guys. Yeah. You heard them. I still don't know what song you're talking about. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.